Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, No Logo by Naomi Klein is a nonfiction political and cultural analysis of branding, corporate power, and globalization. First published in 1999, the book examines how large multinational companies shifted from selling products to selling identities, lifestyles, and symbolic value. Klein connects this branding logic to neoliberal economic policy, outsourcing, labor exploitation, and the privatization of public space. The book is not a business manual or a marketing guide. It is a critique of the system that made global brands so dominant. Its purpose is to show how branding affects culture, politics, work, and consumer behavior, while also documenting the activist resistance that arose in response. Because it combines economic critique, media analysis, and social commentary, No Logo became one of the defining books of the anti-globalization era and remains relevant in discussions of corporate influence today. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how branding replaced product-centered competition. A central idea in No Logo is that corporations increasingly compete by building brand identity rather than by improving the product itself. Klein shows that branding became a way to attach emotion, status, and cultural meaning to ordinary goods, allowing companies to charge more and dominate attention even when manufacturing is outsourced elsewhere. This shift matters because it changes the role of the corporation value is no longer created mainly in production, but in image management, sponsorship, advertising, and lifestyle association. Klein treats this as more than a marketing trend. She argues that branding reorganizes the economy around perception and symbolic control, making consumers participate in the spread of the brand as part of their everyday identity. The result is a culture in which logos, media exposure, and corporate narratives become more powerful than the actual material qualities of the product. This framework helps explain why branding became so influential across sectors far beyond retail, including media, sports, entertainment, and even politics. Secondly, neoliberal globalization and the outsourcing of labor. Klein links the rise of brands to broader neoliberal globalization, especially the relocation of production to lower-wage regions. In her analysis, branded companies often present themselves as innovative and culturally cool while relying on dispersed supply chains, subcontracted labor, and reduced worker power. This arrangement lets corporations separate the polished front end of the brand from the difficult realities of production. The book criticizes this system for encouraging labor exploitation, weakening unions, and shifting risk onto workers and local communities. Klein does not treat outsourcing as a technical efficiency measure alone. She frames it as a political choice that privileges shareholder value over human dignity. By placing branding in the context of globalization, she shows that the logo on the product can hide unequal labor relations across countries. This dimension gives the book lasting importance because it connects consumer culture to global political economy. It explains why cheap goods and powerful brands often depend on invisible social costs, and why resistance must address supply chains as well as advertising. Thirdly, public space, culture, and the saturation of everyday life. Another major theme in No Logo is the colonization of public and cultural space by corporate marketing. Klein argues that brands increasingly move beyond stores and advertisements into schools, streets, sports arenas, music venues, and online and offline media environments. As a result, public life becomes saturated with commercial messages, and everyday experiences are organized around corporate visibility. This matters because branding is not only about selling products, it also shapes what people see, where they gather, and how culture is framed. Klein is especially attentive to how corporations seek to turn cultural expression into promotional territory, using sponsorship and placement to embed themselves in social life. Her critique suggests that when commercial messages dominate common spaces, democratic culture becomes harder to sustain, because shared environments are treated as marketing assets rather than civic resources. The book therefore raises a broader question about who controls the spaces in which people live, meet, and express themselves that makes its analysis relevant to debates about commercialization in education, media, and urban life. Fourthly, anti-corporate activism and the politics of resistance. No Logo is also a record of the activism that challenged corporate globalization at the turn of the century. Klein highlights campaigns, protests, and grassroots efforts that question sweatshop labor, trade policy, and corporate influence over public life. She presents these movements not as isolated acts of protest, but as part of a larger attempt to rebuild democratic power from below. A key strength of the book is that it does not stop at critique. It shows how resistance emerges when consumers, workers, and students begin linking branding to labor rights, environmental concerns, and social justice. Klein portrays activism as a form of reclaiming agency from systems that make corporate power seem natural and unavoidable. Her focus is historical and political, rather than mere symbolic resistance matters, because it can expose hidden supply chains, challenge corporate legitimacy, and open debate about alternative economic arrangements. This section of the book helps explain why No Logo became influential among younger readers, activists, and critics of globalization. It gave language to a movement that was searching for a coherent framework. Lastly, why the book remains relevant in a world of brand politics. The continued relevance of No Logo comes from its insight that branding is not a fixed advertising technique, but a durable system of cultural power. Even though the corporate landscape has changed since the book first appeared, its core argument still applies: brands shape how people interpret identity, authority, and legitimacy. Klein's observations remain useful because branding now extends into personal media, political communication, and influencer culture, where image management and symbolic association are central. The book is also important because it recognizes a limit that many later critics have confirmed. Branding is difficult to escape once it becomes embedded in everyday institutions. This makes No Logo less a dated anti-advertising polemic than a structural analysis of consumer capitalism. Its perspective differs from books that focus only on marketing tactics or business branding because it examines the social consequences of branding across work, culture, and democracy. For readers trying to understand why corporate imagery remains so influential, the book offers a framework that is both historical and still adaptable to current debates. In conclusion, No Logo is best suited for readers interested in political economy, media criticism, labor issues, consumer culture, and anti-globalization history. It is especially valuable for students, activists, journalists, and general readers who want to understand how corporations influence not just markets but also public space, cultural identity, and political imagination. The main benefit of the book is that it connects separate issues that are often discussed in isolation advertising, outsourcing, neoliberal policy, and activism. That connection gives readers a clearer picture of how branding works as a system, rather than as a surface-level marketing practice. Compared with many books about business or globalization, No Logo stands out because it is both analytical and historically grounded, while still being accessible to non-specialists. It is not a guide to building brands or a neutral account of corporate strategy. Instead, it offers a critical framework for recognizing the social costs of brand dominance and the forms of resistance that arise against it. Its lasting distinction is that it turned branding into a serious cultural and political question, not just a commercial one. If you would like to support Naomi Klein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.